Welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. This series will question the assumption that people are psychologically broken and need to be fixed. We will talk about how seeing people as innately healthy will change all of your interactions and outcomes. This is a true paradigm shift, and it simplifies the entire process of dealing with mental distress and allows for more profound and immediate changes.
Aloha, and welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. I'm Christine Heath, coming to you from the most remote place on the planet, Hawaii, and I live on the Big Island here, and I have such gratitude to be able to live here in this beautiful, I mean, it's so beautiful today, especially it's just a gorgeous day, but I get to live here, and now with the magic of the internet, I get to work daily with my friend and colleague,
Judy Sedgman in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is pretty far from Hawaii.
Really?
I was thinking the other most remote place on the planet would be Siberia, so you picked the right direction.
Yeah. Well, Hawaii is the farthest away from any landmass on the globe. Yeah.
Right.
So we have to go, a five-hour trip to the mainland is a short trip. You know, you get, it's kind of like when I lived in Minnesota, in southern Minnesota, Wells, I would, you know, like drive to Minneapolis. That was a really long trip. And going to Minnesota Lake, which was 10 miles away, was something we would do to go hang out with friends, you know. Okay. But it's all relative. But so you get used to being in a remote place. But it's kind of nice, too, because we stay away from some of the crazy stuff that's going on in the world.
Yeah,
and we aren't. They're still here, but you know, there's people come from the mainland, and we still have it here, but it's not quite so bad. Which brings me to our topic for today, which is judgments. Are they always bad?
Mm-hmm.
Judgments are they a sign that you are in your mind being a insecure person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of talk about judgments these days, particularly when people go through changes, people kind of react to what happens to people. And I was thinking about this because people will use the term judgments as kind of a way to not listen to other people. Mm-hmm. Like, you're being judgmental of me, and so therefore you're bad. You know, it's kind of like then we get judgmental about people being judgmental, which is a constant loop. And I thought, well, why is it that people are judgmental? Why do we do that? It's like we get thoughts about people in terms of common sense things or in terms of caring about what other people think. So judgments can be like, oh, you know, kind of like, you know, Marie Antoinette when she was drinking tea and she said, oh, let them eat cake. You know, mm-hmm. like those people are like not good. There's mm-hmm. that feeling of like not liking somebody as a person, right? And then there's judgments that are, to me, ways of going through life. Like I would say the Ten Commandments are judgments, you know? Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not kill. That's like a judgment. Don't kill people. It's a bad thing. Right. And so that's why I think like all judgments are not bad. You know, if people are doing something, a behavior that is hurtful to them or to other people, then I think they shouldn't do that. You know, like in general, that would be a judgment I have. That's why I'm a therapist, right? It's like I'm trying to help people. So when people come in to see me and they're on drugs, they frequently tell me how wonderful it is that they're on drugs and it's not a problem for them or that they can drink. They love the taste of alcohol. It tastes so good. How could I give up not drinking alcohol? Even though it's destroying their life at the same time. So we have the ability to think positively and make ourselves think that something in the outside world is making us feel good, even though it may be destroying our life, our family, and the people around us. So like there's a woman that's been, we work with in our clinic, several people have worked with her, and she's a pretty, she's in later stages of alcoholism. She's starting to have reverse tolerance now, and she quit drinking for 18 years, right? So she knew that drinking wasn't good for her. And then she started drinking again. And now it, when you talk to her about it, she doesn't think it's a problem. And she wants to continue drinking, even though she is literally dying from it. So we would have a judgment about her that it's a good idea to quit drinking. That doesn't mean that we don't care about her, that we don't love her, that we don't show love for and compassion for her. But in dealing with her, we make it clear that the judgment we have is for her to live a long life would be for her to quit drinking. Now, it's still up to her. And so, you know, but the idea is for her to see that the behavior that she's doing is not healthy for her. Now, she'll get very defensive about that and get mad at us and say, well, you're judging me. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what my life has been. You don't know this and that or the other thing. And it's true. It's true. I'm judging her in that way. I think that what she's doing is a bad thing. So, you know, sometimes we have to just take into account that people do things and they get caught up in their thinking in ways that are hurtful to themselves or other people. And I personally think the loving thing to do is to let them know that what they're doing isn't probably going to lead to positive things if that's how it looks to me. You know, like if somebody's going to, you know, jump off a cliff, I would stop them. Not say like, well, I got a judgment about you jumping off that cliff. I don't think it's a good idea. And then not say anything. To me, that's just what a friend does, is that if people are kind of going down the road the wrong direction, you want to like say like, oh, maybe you should turn around and go this way. It's still up to them, and you still love the person. You still love them. Like if your child has a drug addiction, you don't stop loving them. But you definitely don't go buy drugs for them or tell them to, you know, do a hit in your living room, because you want them to know that they need to wake up, that they need to see that what they're doing is hurtful to themselves.
That's I think that's a tough line for people sometimes to see, because you mentioned child rearing, especially when kids are going through some of the teenage angst and so on, and you know they're going to indulge in a behavior that's dangerous or possibly leads to something that they wouldn't enjoy the consequence of. And yet you don't want your child to feel like you don't want them to grow up, or you don't want them to, you know, to have a beautiful life or to have friends that you may or may not know or like as much as they do. That's all, you know, that's all not the point. And I remember very distinctly when I first learned the principles, what I really saw was it's the feeling state that you're in when you talk to people that matters, whether they see it as judgment or see it as helpful information. And it's also the feeling state they're in as they receive it. So you have to kind of pay attention to that. But, you know, if my child were rushing off with the car keys and was drunk, I would take the keys away and I wouldn't care how she felt. Mm-hmm. But in a normal conversation with a person that you care about, that tone matters and your state of mind matters and their state of mind matters. But what kind of friend are you if you see somebody going down a path that looks difficult, look like it create difficulty not to share that? Mm-hmm. And you could be wrong and they could be right, or they could be wrong, or there could be a third path that no one's looked at yet that would be the perfect answer. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like that sometimes we hesitate to talk to people as friends. Mm-hmm. And just let them, you know, let them figure, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings and I don't want to appear to be judgmental. But you know, judgmental is when you're judging the person. Judgment is when you're talking about the behavior, talking about an activity, talking about I would call that discernment. When you're just mm-hmm. discerning that there's something that's they're doing in their life that's potentially going to end poorly, mm-hmm. and you don't share with them. It doesn't mean they're going to listen, and you can't expect them necessarily to listen, but if you can do it from a feeling of love and non-judgment about them as a human being, yeah, because as a human being, we're all the same. We're just doing the best we can with our thinking. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, if they listen or don't listen, that's up to them, but at least you've tried.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned over time when there were times I remember in my business when I was running a medical practice management business, like one of the things that I was very sensitive to was the fact that it was quite common for billing services or people that worked in doctor's offices to take shortcuts or to, in a sense, defraud Medicare because you could upcode. And once they figured that out, and of course, if the doctor made more money, they made more, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely not going to let that come into my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time having to sit down with a doctor who was highly regarded in the community and somebody I socialized with and was a friend of my husband's. And, you know, we knew the person very well. I knew his wife. But he asked me if I'd take a look at his office because he might want to use our services. And I saw that they were committing Medicare fraud. And now, at the time I saw it, I didn't know if he knew. I just knew that I saw it. And I thought, well, that's part of my job is to evaluate how things are going in the office. And so I sat down with him and I said, you know, I don't know how involved you are in the coding and billing for your practice. And he said, well, you know, I know something about it because, you know, when I started, my wife used to do it and she had a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, now that I have a bigger practice, you know, when she's home with the kids, mm-hmm. I've got a staff doing it. So I said, well, do you realize that you're committing Medicare fraud? And he looked at me and he said, oh, everybody does it. And I said, well, the sad thing about it is everybody that I have as a client doesn't do it. And so as much as I respect you and as much as I know, he was a wonderful doctor. He was a great doctor. I would go to him as a doctor. But I said, I'm sorry, I just can't. If you feel like you'd like things to go on the way they are in your billing system, I can't take you on because that's part of what we do for our clients. And that's how we get paid. We do a percentage of their billing, but we do a lot of other services that are covered by that. And he said, well, I am very offended that you would think ill of me for doing what everybody else does. And I said, I don't think ill of you. I think you're a fabulous doctor. I think you're just wonderful. I would send a friend to you. I would send my best friend to you for your surgical services. But I would not commit Medicare fraud on your behalf. I'm sorry. I just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of cold about it. You know, it's like, how dare you turn down me, the great doctor? And I said, you know, I'm sorry. I really feel bad about this, but you know, I would be happy to take on your billing if you would just let us do it right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to insist on upcoding, we won't do it. We can't. My staff is trained not to do it. And on top of that, my staff is trained to report it to the doctor. And if the doctor refuses to change, to report it to Medicare. So you don't really want that. And so we never did business. But, you know, for about 6 months thereafter, his wife, you know, I'd run into her at things because, as I say, we kind of moved in the same circles. And she'd be very cold. And they were very angry with me because they felt that and they thought that I was running all over town telling people they were committing medical. I never did that. I never said a word to anybody about them. You know, that's nobody's business. And I figured sooner or later, Medicare catches everybody, you know, so I wasn't going to be the one. And I wasn't involved in it. And, but I also wouldn't do it. And one day his wife's friend, who was a mutual friend, said to me, you know, they're very upset with you because they're concerned that you're going to turn them in. And I said, I'm not going to turn anybody in. I said, I don't do that. I don't take them as clients. That's all. And I said, I think they're wonderful people. They're our friends. He's a magnificent doctor. She does amazing work for the community. And they're lovely people. That's just that one area that we just don't see eye to eye. And I don't, it's my business. And when you run a business, you do your business the way you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend said, well, you should tell them that. And I said, I did. They just didn't hear me. You know, and it was really funny because that was a very strange experience. After a while, they kind of realized I wasn't telling people and nobody wasn't a subject of conversation. They kind of mm-hmm. came around. But you know, that's, I think, what we all miss. I've done that where people have tried to help me. I mean, I can think of people very close to me in this work that have come to me and said, you know, Judy, get a grip, you know, and would talk to me about something that I was thinking or doing or something that I was doing in my work with people that was off the mark. And at first I would feel like, oh, I'm a bad person. I would take it on as they criticizing me. They don't like me. They don't respect me. They don't care about me. And then I realized, you know what? If they didn't respect me and they didn't like me, they wouldn't care enough to tell me. Mm-hmm. They would just tell people to stop talking to me. You know? Mm-hmm. And I suddenly realized that's the most loving thing a person can do is honestly speak. When you see mm-hmm. somebody who's like Chris is, you should tell about, you know, like your clients. I mean, you work, if you condone their behavior, you'd be in jail yourself.
Yeah. You know, I do this work with people who have substance abuse problems and people that have anger management problems, people that have violence problems that they, you know, get upset and beat people up, their family members, their children, their wives. And I have a lot of judgments about that. Yes, being violent with people is not a good idea. Now, if you have to be violent to save yourself, you know, I would change my thinking about that. It's like, you know, that's obviously something that you have to do. But most people that come to me for those problems are living in a state of mind where they are malfunctioning. And they get so off the mark. They're like, I always say they're going down the road the wrong direction. My teacher told me once, he said, Chris, remember this. He said, there's that all roads lead to Rome, but there's two ways on each road, to and away from. So when people are moving away from where they want to go, they want to be happy, they want to be loved, they want to be successful. I mean, everybody wants that in their natural state. But when they go in the wrong direction, it's up to me to let them know that they're going the wrong direction because there's a safety factor for other people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've had to learn how to talk to people about really bad behavior that they don't see as bad behavior in a way that they start to see how their thinking tricks them into doing something that is not good for themselves or other people. The same thing is true with suicide. People think suicide is a good idea. I have a judgment about that. It's not a good idea. You know, because I know that when you're thinking that way, you're in such a low state of mind. If you think about killing somebody else or yourself, you're in such an insecure state of mind that that thought looks like a good idea. Mm-hmm. So when people get lost, they really get lost in their own insecure thinking, but they get turned around on the road. So they're like going down the road really fast, but the wrong direction, like going down a one-way road, you know, the wrong way, you know, you turn your car into a one-way street and all the cars are coming at you and you're like, ah, right? That's how life feels and it looks. So you try to figure out how to con your way through life and how to do things and how to manipulate people because you're always going the wrong direction, which is what happens with a lot of the people that we work with, not just men too. We have women that come in. But when people get into that state of mind that they're suffering, it's easy for them to get tricked by the outside world. So a drug comes in and says, a drug dealer comes in and says, here, this will make you feel better. And they go, oh, this will make me feel better. Okay. Or they're with a group of their friends and they say, we're all drinking. Come and drink with us. And so at some point in time, they have to make a judgment that reality, right? Is that reality is not healthy for them. And they don't want to live in that reality. Now that reality is created by their own thinking and there's nothing in that world that was going to make them feel better except for temporarily, right? So when somebody's an alcoholic, they sit down and have a glass of wine, the first glass of wine, it's like, oh, that was great. Mm. Well, by the 18th glass of wine, they don't even remember the night, you know? And so it's that kind of thing that when we place our good feeling on somebody else or something else, that we live with a little bit of insecurity or a lot of insecurity, depending on how it goes. Mm-hmm. So when people are going through life and they are caught in the illusion of thought, it looks like there's somebody, something in the outside world, some circumstance that's going to make them feel better. And when you get hooked on that, it's a big drug. It's a big drug to think that somebody else is making you feel better, and when, or something else is making you feel better. So sometimes we have to be honest with people and say, okay, now let's take a look at that. You know, let's take a look at really how much that thing is creating your experience and how much your thoughts about that thing are creating your experience. Because consciousness just takes what you think and it brings it to life. So if you think, oh, this person is making me feel this way, whether it's a husband or a wife or a boss or a minister in your church or a
teacher,
a guru, you know, like, you're giving the power to the outside world. And when people get caught up in that, it's hard for them to see it. Mm-hmm. So I think my judgment is that if somebody asks me, I mean, I don't generally go, you know, telling people how to live their life. But if somebody asks me, I would let them know that I think that's the wrong direction to go. But it's up to them what they do. It's up to them what path they follow, what path they go on. But you're setting a boundary and saying, like, okay, as long as you're doing crystal methamphetamine, I don't want to hang out with you. Like, that's a judgment. But you're not saying that you don't love them. It doesn't mean that you don't care about them, but they're in a state of being that's not healthy for them. And you're condoning it, A, if you're doing that, you might think that. And you might think that that not saying something would be a bad thing to do. That's, you know, so you see how we get into all this judgment, not judgment. So, yeah. I mean, you just got to listen to yourself and do what you think is the loving thing with that person. And if that's turning away from them and saying, let me know when you're back from the dark side, you know, let me know when you're sober, I'll be right there for you. I'll be right there and I'll be able to help you. Because otherwise, the positive thinking that people have about what they're doing is very seductive.
Yeah.
You know, like when I work with people with addictions, they always have some version of, it's not a problem, I'm fine. Now that's positive thinking, but it's very detrimental positive thinking if they're squandering all their money on drugs or they can't keep a job or they can't take care of their family or they're, you know, committing crimes in order to keep that going because you're hurting other people then.
Yeah, I had an experience in my neighborhood not too long ago. So there's, you know, when you live in a neighborhood in a city, there are certain people that are homeless and hang out in certain areas, and they're always there. I remember my daughter experienced that when she lived in New York and in the neighborhood she lived in. And so I've gotten to know several people that are pretty much always on the route I take to here and there. And one of them is this really nice woman. I remember I brought her a blanket one time because I just moved here and I had extra blankets and I had no place to store them. And I was going to give them to Goodwill. And then she was freezing. She's sitting on the street and she didn't have a warm enough coat. And I didn't have a coat to give her, but I could give her a blanket. So I went back to my apartment, which was like two blocks from where she was sitting. And I brought her a blanket and she just became my best friend. You know, she was so thankful. And every time I see her subsequently, she'd say, oh, I still have that blanket. I'm so grateful. And every once in a while, I've given her some money. But also, as I got to know her a little bit better and talked to her, I realized she had a serious alcohol problem, but she was a binge drinker. So she'd be sober, and then all of a sudden, she'd just be blotto. And so I thought, okay, I'm not going to talk to her when she's blotto. That's the best that I can do. I'm not her therapist. I'm not her mother. I'm not in charge of her, but she's a lovely woman. She has the possibility at some point to, you know, make something of herself. She's still young. She's very smart. She's even a junior college graduate. So anyway, recently she was really drunk and she was sitting there and she saw me come by and she's to hardly get the words out, but I really got to get some money because they're going to put me in jail because I got all these warrants out on me. And I stopped and I said, I can't talk to you when you're in this state. And she said, what state? And I said, you're drunk. Well, I'm not drunk. All right. I'm really not, you know, it's just, I'm really upset. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm a professional who deals with people with alcohol problems and you're drunk. And I don't think this is the best possible time for us to have any kind of conversation. So let me know when you kind of sober up. And I didn't see her. They did put her in jail, apparently, because I didn't see her for about 3 weeks. And then the other day I was running over to my daughter's house and she stopped me and she said, I just want to thank you. I said, for what? I said, she said, well, you know, remember that day when I stopped you and I really wanted money and I told you I had to mail presents to my kids and all this stuff? And I said, yeah. She said, I just wanted more money for booze. And you saw right through me. And she said, it really woke me up. And they came and took me to jail. And I said, okay, I'll do my time and sober up. And I did.
Wow, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah. And I said, well, hang on to that. I said, hang on to that because it wasn't me. Wasn't me. It was the fact that I told you the truth. And the truth, when you hear the truth, you see it, you know, if you're listening. Yeah. And your defenses were down because you were drunk. So you were just like taking it in. And I said, so don't thank me. I appreciate the fact that you're doing better. And I'm so happy for you. And I gave her $10 and she went and got a sandwich. I saw her go right in the sandwich shop. And you know, I just feel like, you know, that's, I realize that a lot of people turn away from homeless people and turn away from people that are in trouble because they don't know how to, they don't know what to do. And I realize, you know, we're all people. Mm-hmm. And we just have to be truthful with each other. If there's something going on in a person's life that you can see going in that direction is not going to do good things for them ultimately, or it might not. What mm-hmm. kind of caring human being would you be if you said, well, I'm not going to bother to tell them because mm-hmm. make up a reason they won't listen or they don't care what I think or whatever. It's always worth a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, if you can remember that, then when people are trying to get through to you, mm-hmm. you know, it's like you are more likely to listen.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're not listening and you're convicted that what you're doing is a good idea and you're going to keep doing it no matter what, mm-hmm. that, you know, it looks like the other person's judging you. Yeah. That's just how it looks. And
it's personal. It's not.
Yeah. And we kind of get up on our high horse, like of all the nerve, how dare you say that to me? You know, and it's just, sometimes it's just the truth of what they're trying to get us to see. Like my daughter-in-law told me over Christmas that she goes, yeah, you were kind of over the top in those early days at Christmas. And I was like, yeah, I was, but everybody needed that. You know, like I came from a family where I had lots of presents. So I would take the money and I'd buy them things like beach towels and deodorant and things yeah. like that, you know, that they needed, right? I said, yeah, that's true, but people needed that stuff. She said, yeah, that's true. But, you know, it was like I was a little defensive for a minute, but it probably was over the top for them because they're used to Christmas with one present and I would like get 10 presents for everybody. So there was, you know, all the kids and my friend Susie Sikora would come and she'd bring presents for everybody. And so there was this huge, you know, celebration, which I'm sure was when what they were used to wasn't that.
Yeah.
You know, it was a different culture. I had a different culture, right?
Yeah.
And so with cultural differences, we see as differently. Sometimes we get like, why are you doing that? We don't take the time to understand that, but we also have to be able to set boundaries with people if their thinking is taking them down the path, the road, the wrong direction. You know, at any point in time, they can turn around and then boom, you're right there with the ability to love them. And it doesn't matter what happened in the past. But while somebody's malfunctioning, sometimes the best you can do is to keep your distance. Because otherwise, you put yourself in danger. You put your whatever you're doing at risk. You know, it's just like having a client that's doing the fraud, like you wouldn't get sued for the fraud probably, but they would be, but that would look bad on you, right? So that in your professional judgment, that was a boundary that you had to set.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, you just got to be like, be aware that, like George Bransky told me once, I remember him saying this, he said, well, being judgmental is not necessarily bad. It's not always bad, you know, because it's just that when we take it to a hurtful place, or we take it to a place where we're judging ourselves, I mean, gosh, you know, you and I both are, you know, hard on ourselves because we have expectations of doing really whatever we can in the world that's good. Mm-hmm. But people won't agree with us. People are going to go off and do other things that we probably would not do. It doesn't mean we don't love them. It just means that we don't want to go down the road that direction.
And I that's important to remember. There's a difference between, and Sid pointed this out, that you can love the person and not like the act.
Yeah.
And if you love the person and never lose that, you should feel free to speak your mind. And if they don't want to hear it, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've done the best you can as a friend. And that's kind of where we all stand, is the best we can do for people is to love them and tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
So with that.
We're telling you the truth here. Just, you know, like, be loving with yourself and be loving with other people. But, like, don't get into a trip of not being judgmental to the point that you are making decisions that are not healthy for you or anybody else.
So we'll see you next time.
Aloha.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
We hope you heard something new and that you will continue to join us to challenge the prevailing thinking about the possibilities for health in everyone. To subscribe to the podcast, visit our website at psychologyhasitbackwards.com.